A 30-year-old nuclear disarmament treaty between the United States and Russia could be thrown aside, according to U.S. President Donald Trump.
We're the ones that have stayed in the agreement, and we've honored the agreement, but Russia has not, unfortunately, honored the agreement. So we're going to terminate the agreement. We're going to pull out.
As you heard him say there, the president thinks that Russia hasn't honored the treaty and needs to be held account. But this move has drawn heavy criticism from allies in Europe. And for the former Soviet Union leader Mikhail Gorbachev, who originally signed the treaty with US President Reagan in 1987. To help us better understand these events is US correspondent for the Financial Review, Jacob Grieber, who joins us on the line now from Washington. Good morning, Jacob.
Morning, Sam. Morning, Casey.
So what were the conditions of the disarmament treaty when it was initially agreed to in 1987?
Okay, so this grew out of originally a concern at the militarization of Europe. The Russians had a missile that allowed them to, if they wanted to, drop nuclear bombs all over Western Europe. The Americans responded by bringing in their own missiles, Pershing and cruise missiles, which made anyone living in Europe feel very uncomfortable for obvious reasons. And the end game was that Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev signed what was called the INF Treaty, which basically banned all land-based ballistic and cruise missiles, basically with a range of between 500 and 5,500 kilometers. It was a key building block in the sort of improvement of the detente that came towards the end of the Cold War that led to the end of that arms race.
So what do we need to understand of President Trump's decision to withdraw?
So this is part of Trump's sort of broader strategy of shaking things up wherever he goes. That he's picked on this isn't necessarily that surprising. Despite the fact it's very concerning, he's doubled down on it again today, even in the last hour. And he said that, he's basically said the US would retaliate to this Russian. The Americans accused the Russians of not being true to that treaty, and so Trump is now saying that America's happy to build up its arsenal until, quote, people come to their senses. So it's a clear escalation in language, and it's part of his broader strategy of casting existing agreements, no matter how long and how comfortable people are with them, into doubt.
It seems a little strange, sitting back here, I guess, and watching it from afar, hearing that rhetoric about people coming to their senses. I mean, does the US not already have the world's largest armament of nuclear weaponry?
Well, the problem with this is that these deals were done, as you said at the outset, three decades ago. They've become a comfortable part of the architecture. But everyone forgets there's still an awful lot of nuclear missiles out there. And they're kind of locked down with these agreements. Now, the Americans say the Russians have been in breach of this since 2014 by establishing a sort of new range of missiles. The problem is we have to take them at their word because the evidence they've got is so classified, they haven't released it, and they're unlikely to. So there's a sort of trust issue here at the core as well. And Trump's argument is, look, the Russians are in breach of this. Obama tried to deal with it. Now I'm just going to pull out of the treaty as a way of escalating this situation.
We're speaking with our US correspondent, Jacob Grieber, from the Financial Review. Jacob, how has this decision been received within the United States?
Oh, it's generated quite a bit of attention. It's quite a tough thing to compete over here with a story like that, given there's still a lot of concern around the Saudi Arabian murder, and there's another big story brewing about immigration south of the border. But this one's cutting through here among people who really pay attention to this stuff here in Washington, because it does hark back to this era in the 80s when the world felt like a much more dangerous place, and people who've got long memories don't want to go back to that world.
So if they don't want to go back to that world, if it was seen as something once the Cold War supposedly ended or at least sort of fizzled out a bit, if that was seen as, you know, a diplomatic success, what is the strategy here? What is he trying to get out of it by wanting to return to a state of tension between two of the world's superpowers?
It's part and parcel of the whole Trump modus operandi, which is to unsettle people so that they don't know which way he's going to jump. It comes from his old days of doing real estate deals. He seeks to have people double guess what he's up to so that he's got extra leverage on a deal. And then he turns around and agrees to a deal. And it's often not that extreme what the actual final agreement is. And I think the renegotiated NAFTA, North American Free Trade Association, with Mexico and Canada is a great example of that. Mexico and Canada, you know, for a while there, it looked really dire with the threats that were coming out of the White House. Now, the deal they've signed, in the end, you know, appeases everybody. And to be honest, it's not that different.
Now, is it likely that Trump will follow through on this? And what would it take for him to pass this kind of agreement?
Well, it's clear he's definitely serious about it. He's got his national security advisor, John Bolton, who's in Moscow as we speak, and he's seeing Putin tomorrow. Putin obviously wants an explanation from Bolton himself, and it's pretty clear Bolton's one of the main figures behind this. He was part of a similar shake-up during the Bush era in 2001. And we'll have to see. We'll have to see how far it goes. It's definitely not a comfortable thing for a lot of Europeans.
And heading into the midterms, how does this sort of decision and posturing affect the Republicans' situation over there?
Well, it's really interesting you say that, because you recall one of the big criticisms Trump is facing is that Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election got him over the line. And that's something Trump has always resisted. He hates that idea that somehow the Russians helped him get the job. And this helps counter that, because it shows him being tough on the Russians. And that's quite important to a lot of Republicans who were quite alarmed a couple of months ago when he stood with Putin in Helsinki and appeared to throw the entire U.S. security operator, you know, entire spy agency, all the security advice that he gets under the bus in just agreeing with Putin. Now, Trump's been very careful to make up that ground, because there are a lot of Republicans who, you know, came of age and spent most of their career fighting the Soviet Union in one way or the other during that Cold War period. And so this helps counter that narrative that somehow Trump's only there because of the Russians.
Well, it's always good to hear these stories, and it's been extra good to hear how it kind of fits within Trump's own MO, as you mentioned. Jacob, thanks very much for joining us on Breakfast this morning, and hopefully we don't have any reason to duck and cover in the future.
No worries. Thanks, Sam. Casey.